אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד כתבות מעניינות, היכנסו lsbs.com.au/hebrew.
We're in conversation today with Nadav Khan, a singer-songwriter, music therapist, and meditation facilitator, who will present Hinenu, Songs for This Time, as part of the Sydney's Festival of the Spoken Word, taking place throughout August. So first of all, hi Nadav, and welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Hi Jekyll, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. So let's talk a little bit about Hinenu. It's a performance exploring grief, fear, and the need to be present together. What was behind the decision of creating this specific performance?
Over the last few years, I've been very engaged and involved in creating spaces for the community to come and gather together, especially when people have been most lost for words or in a state of fear, discomfort, apprehension, confusion. You know, we've all gone through so much. I think it's fair to generalize that much, even though I generally prefer to speak about my own personal experience, but it's really been an overwhelming time. And what I've discovered is a person who holds spaces and can create an environment for people to sit with confusion and grief and discomfort is that people have really needed that. And this felt like an opportunity to create something a little bit different in a more musical context, but still very much using the word, the context of spoken word, or I should say sung word, to create room for us to sit and to breathe together and to come together as a community to explore themes that have been unfolding in the world, and I should say probably more in the Jewish world, for some time now.
So you approach the show not only as a musician, but also as a music therapist and meditation facilitator. How do these different parts of your work shape the way that you engage with themes such as grief and fear?
Well, I often get invited to hold space for people who are going through particular stages of life, sometimes end of life stages, sometimes start of life, through some of the highest and the lowest parts that people go through and experience. So I've gotten to be quite comfortable with being close to death, and also to be able to bring light and celebration in people's, you know, most exciting moments, whether it's, you know, weddings or bar mitzvahs or births or things. My role is often to bring the spiritual connection to an experience. So where I come from as well with my music, my meditation, it's all very intertwined, that it's there to bring people into a more connected space. And that's both intentional, but also just simply the way that I approach life. And that's how it gets expressed in music. And I often get to do things in synagogues and places of worship like that, where I get to hold space through song, so people can literally let go of the put aside the siddur and just be in the music and there go into whatever they need to work through in that given moment. Sometimes a few notes can change the rooms.
So how does the spoken word take place in your performance? How does it help to transfer the meaning of this performance?
The spoken word is, in a sense, storytelling and exploring feelings and narrative. The only thing is that most of the spoken word that I'll be doing for this show will be incorporated into songs. So rather than standing in front of an audience and speaking to them, I'm bringing them in through music. So weaving through song, and by attempting to condense ideas into shorter arrangements that are, you know, rather than elongated stories, my intention is to let people feel, hopefully, more connected by receiving both the melody, the sound. I'm playing with an amazing musician, Joey DeRusha, and together we're going to be creating a journey, a sonic journey that is woven in through the instruments that we'll be playing and the songs that we'll be singing, and some invitations for people to participate, to sing along if they feel comfortable to. And the opportunity to be silent together as well, and to drop into a more aware, connected space with moments of pauses. And I find that that's precious as well, for people to be together in a room, not speaking, not doing anything, just feeling what it's like to be in the room with one another, going through the process that we're in, and our emotions and our comfort and discomfort.
In this performance, you move between English and Hebrew. How do you choose when it is time for a Hebrew song and when is it time for an English one? How do you make the decision how to move between both languages?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is dependent on the arc of the journey, and I'm still in the process of creating it. Since the invitation to do this, to be a part of the spoken word, I've been very deep in a writing process. So I'm still constructing the songs that I'm going to be performing. And I can already, I'm very clear, it's almost there as we're approaching it, but it's still got to be fine-tuned. And what I'm finding is that in between particular storylines, I feel like we're called into some sort of prayerful moment, and in that sense, I'm using, you know, tefillah. I'm calling on some prayers that some of the words will be familiar to people, but you know, in slightly different arrangements, musical arrangements or spoken arrangements. So we're not going into song in the way that we would in a synagogue. Not those melodies. These are newly constructed melodic arrangements. I love nigunim and the idea of going beyond the word, just the sound, just to the lalalais and the yadadais and the things that we can actually sometimes transcend the mind and transcend language to just go straight to the heart. My intention is to really create a very, very uplifting and very connected space for us to sit in something that's very uniting and supportive, especially in a time of much disconnection and disruption. And I can certainly share that, you know, for me and my family, who we've been through it deeply, as so many have in the community, and my wife and daughter were there at the Hanukkah festival, and it's just brought up so much, and they made it out, so we've been very, very fortunate. So some of the songs are very intricately related to that experience and coming through that after having been processing the world since October 7th already for the last few years.
You mentioned that your family was present at the time of the Bondi attack. Would you be keen to share a little bit about their experience?
We live very close to the site of the where the attack took place, and that evening my daughter, who's 5, really wanted to go, but my son didn't want to go, so I stayed home with my son, and my wife and my daughter walked down there, and that was 5 minutes before it started. And I suppose a minute or two in, and I got a call saying, "Don't go down to Bondi because there's shots firing."
Was there a call from your family or someone who knows?
It was a call from my mother. Hmm. Yeah, she was at someone's house and people were running in, you know, trying to escape.
Running into the house.
Running into houses on the streets, just random people, because everybody was so scared and people were just trying to take shelter. So instantly, I realized what was going on and headed down there. But meanwhile, my daughter and my wife just took shelter behind a low concrete ledge where it's a sort of little picnic area, and they hid there and miraculously weren't harmed.
I got there at the very end as the shooting ended, and because I couldn't reach them, they weren't answering, and searched for them.
How did it feel not to be present at that moment, knowing that they are there and you don't know where they are, you don't know if they are okay?
Very, very scary. It was very scary. I knew they were there. I just inherently knew that, Jessie, my wife, wasn't answering. And so I figured they're in something. And I obviously had no idea the magnitude, but I knew something was going down. And I, even all I knew was that, all I got told was that there's gunfire. But, I think the sensitivity and awareness, both of being Israeli and growing up with that reality of attacks, but then post October 7th and the state that we've all, of awareness that we've been in of the uncomfortable nature of social or and lack of social cohesion, if you call it that. Yeah, I just knew inherently. I just ran down. Yeah, we didn't even wear shoes. We just ran down to look for them.
I'm really sorry that you and your family had to go through this.
Yeah, thank you. But that definitely, and then being in a very, very, in the grief and the shock and, with the community going through all of that afterwards, really has propelled me to feel like when I saw the pain and the hurt and the confusion that everyone was going through, and I was involved in singing and doing things in the days after, just there around the Bondi Pavilion, and since then also I've held some events to support the community, and so this felt like another opportunity. And though I must say that now, as we get further from the attack, things change, some of the nature of trauma, the nature of shock, the nature of the things that were so unthinkable, they shift because we, as humans are resilient and we process and we continue to move and evolve. So where the show is now is going to be a reflection of where I perceive people are now, as opposed to when the whole thing was, the whole setup for the spoken word began 4 or 5 months ago, which was another place, which was, we were all deeper in and still probably in shock.
Why did you choose the word Hinanu? What made you choose this specific word for the performance?
I felt that Hinanu, which is, I guess, the plural for Hinani, really reflects some sort of a vulnerable state of being open, being available, being willing to be seen, and being, it feels like a very humble position, like a place where we're very receptive, and I think for me that's how I felt. I felt like so much of the world that I'd been in and the ways in which I perceived myself and life felt like it had changed. It had brought me to my knees in a new way. And so Hinanu just felt like let's bring our purest selves, just our come with our neshama teorah, with our essential nature, not with the stories that we carry about ourselves and one another, or bring those stories, but allow them to perhaps be unpacked or fall away for that little hour.
And what does it mean for you to present this specific performance at a Jewish festival in this moment in time?
Well, I feel like all of life requests of us what the need of the time is asking for. And it feels like our community needs spaces like this, wants to come together, needs to feel safe, needs spaces in which we can not walk around with all of the questions and discomfort and uncertainty about what anyone else may be thinking. And as I think, it's hard enough amongst just our own families and our own community, because everyone has different opinions and different views, but I feel like this little offering within a Jewish festival is an invitation, not just for the Jewish community. I love when people outside of the Jewish community come and explore it. And I have many people who come to things that I do who are not Jewish and love it when I sing in Hebrew, love it when I do that stuff. So I do hope that it's broader than only the Jewish community, but I certainly think that it might be more relatable for the Jews who have been through the experiences that we're all working through at the moment.
What is the meaning of having this kind of festival?
I think it's important for our community. I do think it'll be mostly a Jewish community that comes to these things. And I feel like we're at a time more than ever that we want spaces in which we can be held in. These days, I feel more than ever drawn to be exploring Jewish identity. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I spent so much of my life kind of decompartmentalizing all of my different forms of indoctrination and trying to just come back to the essence of what I was. And now I see how deep the Jewish roots are, that I think it's important to share them and to celebrate them.
Nadav, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and best of luck with the performance.
Thank you, Deku. Thanks you for your time and for your thoughtful questions. Really appreciate it.
סמנו לייק, שתפו והגיבו. עקבו אחרי SBS Hebrew בפייסבוק.